Good morning, Sheridan. I'm Cal Cornbread Halverson with your MI Farm Brief for Saturday, August 8, 2026. Here's your weather for Steele County, MN. Today, a high near 78 degrees, mostly sunny. Tonight, a low near 63 degrees, partly cloudy, then chance showers and thunderstorms. Now for Cal's market read. At Friday's close, corn steady and beans steady. Recent trend. Over the last 5 sessions, corn has eased and beans have eased. That is the backdrop your cash bid is moving against. Here is our read on why. Cutting the other way, demand still reads firm per ag week. Senate's farm bill stalled for now, largely over snap debate. Honest truth, the tape does not hand us one clean reason today, so take this as our best read, not gospel. Stocks point higher into the open. S&P futures up about 0.7%. A firmer tape eases the borrowing and input cost mood your lender watches, though it does not move your cash bid by itself. Now, here is what moved across the wires from my news desk. Story 1. Senate's farm bill stalled for now, largely over snap debate. The Senate Ag Committee just stalled its own Farm Bill 2.0 during its first markup, with the fight centered on whether states should shoulder more of the SNAP food aid cost based on their benefit error rates. Chairman John Boozman, Republican from Arkansas, called it his best and final offer, while ranking member Amy Klobuchar, Democrat from Minnesota, voted no and argued that $70 billion each was found for IBAN and ICE but not for a simple 2-year delay that would let all states get their error rates in line, noting Minnesota sits at 12.6% against a 6% federal threshold and now faces a 15% state match. Despite the collapse, farmers won real gains that survived the vote, including a Thune Amendment restoring mandatory country of origin labeling for beef that passed 17-0, plus higher farm loan limits and year-round, nationwide E15 sales. Groups from the National Farmers Union to the Minnesota Farm Bureau blasted the delay as one family farms cannot afford after 3 years of waiting. But the bill is not dead, and the committee is expected to try again soon. Story 2. Boozman eyes mid-September farm bill vote, urges farmers to speak out. Senate Agriculture Chairman John Boozman, an Arkansas Republican, wants to restart his committee's markup of Farm Bill 2.0 as soon as lawmakers return September 14, aiming for a bipartisan vote after the bill stalled this week. It failed to advance Thursday when Republicans Tommy Tuberville and a sick Mitch McConnell were absent and all Democrats, led by Minnesota's Amy Klobuchar, voted no. The fight centers on SNAP, where Boozman offers a 1-year delay on new state cost-sharing tied to payment error rates, the national rate being 10.6%, while Klobuchar insists on a 2-year delay so all states get equal footing. This matters to farmers because the bill would update programs untouched since 2018, raise producer loan limits, allow year-round sales of E15 ethanol, and restore country of origin labeling for beef, and Boozman warns time is running short to pass it this year. Story 3. Preserve fifth-generation farm with conservation. In Jackson County, Iowa, a farmer named Brian Noonan is reshaping his family's 480-acre operation with conservation practices while working alongside USDA NRCS district conservationist Lori Schnorr. The land carries deep roots, tracing back 5 generations to the 1830s when his Irish ancestors first bought 180 acres, so this is as much about heritage as it is about soil. One of his newest moves is a pollinator planting set next to his shelter belt in cropland, giving monarch butterflies, bees, and other helpful insects a place to thrive. It is a practical reminder that protecting a fifth-generation farm can go hand in hand with building habitat that pays off across the whole field. Story 4. Back home, columnist Chris Hardy, who lives with his wife Sherry on his great-grandparents' Jackson County farm, admits that even an old sewer snake could not clear the cast iron floor drain clogged in his basement. He has always seen himself as a jack of all trades, willing to tackle any repair or project even when he has never done it before. Hardy is no stranger to hard work or recognition, having been nominated for a Pulitzer Prize in 2001, served on the Wisconsin Freedom of Information Council, and led the Wisconsin Newspaper Association as past president. His book, Back Home, Country Tales by the Seasons, available on Amazon, ties in his seasonal reflections, from stubborn plumbing to the way sweet corn and field corn signal a full calendar of outdoor events ahead. Story 5. Junior Market Barrel Results at the 2026 Ohio State Fair. The 2026 Ohio State Fair crowned its Junior Market Barrel champions, with 2 Oklahoma judges, Jarrett Davis of Shawnee and Blake Goss of Leedy, making the final calls. Parker Elchinger of Henry County took grand champion honors with a light cross barrow, edging out a strong field. Victoria Gossard of Allen County earned reserve champion with her Berkshire, while Kenzie Swanson of Ashland County placed third overall with a dark horse. These results showcase the young Ohio hog producers rising through the ranks, a reminder of how the next generation is refining the breeding and showmanship skills that shape the whole livestock industry. Story 6. Senate confirms Smith as USDA Rural Development Undersecretary. The Senate has finally filled the Rural Development Undersecretary post at USDA, empty since January 2025, by confirming Glenn Smith, a Farm Credit Administration board member and former CVO who leads a vast mission area overseeing rural credit and communities. Sen. Chuck Grassley cheered the pick, calling Smith a product of rural Iowa who grew up in the southwest corner of the state and has spent his career serving fellow farmers. Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Naig, the Plant-Based Products Council, and the FCA itself all praised his financial background and commitment to keeping rural America strong. For Iowa growers, this matters because Smith will steer federal dollars and programs that shape rural infrastructure, credit stability, and the future of the plant-based products industry that depends on farmers. Story 7. 86 farm families recognized at Minnesota Farm Fest. University of Minnesota Extension honored 86 farm families, one from each county, during this year's Farm Fest, continuing a tradition that has run for more than 20 years. Extension Dean Bev Durkin said the award celebrates the leadership these families show in their communities through boards, 4-H, and Master Gardener programs, noting the state is home to close to 70,000 family farms. Durkin pointed out that Minnesota ranks No. 1 in turkey and sugar beet production, sits second or third in hogs, and stands as a major exporter of soybeans and corn, so agriculture is a real driver of the state's economy. Families are nominated and chosen by their county extension committee, and Durkin said the diversity of the operations, from row crops and dairy to pick and direct market farms, is what keeps rural communities strong. You can view the full 2026 list at https://extension.um.edu/farmfamilies or contact your local county extension committee to nominate a family. Story 8. Minnesota Ag in the Classroom marks 4 decades of growing agriculture literacy. Minnesota Agriculture in the Classroom is marking its 40th anniversary this year, a milestone for a program that set out to put farming back into school lessons. Foundation Director Anne Marie Ward calls the impact remarkable, describing it as a team movement uniting commodity groups, organizations, and individuals. She stresses the curriculum is built to align with state academic standards so teachers can weave in agriculture without extra busy work. Today the program reaches roughly 160,000 students across 88% of Minnesota public school districts, proving how far a simple classroom idea has grown. Story 9. Sugar industry seeks additional economic aid from Congress. Sugar growers are pushing Washington for another round of disaster and economic aid to help them weather crop losses and shaky markets. Rayan Weston, who chairs the American Sugar Alliance and leads the Florida Sugarcane League, says USDA Deputy Secretary Stephen Batten talked up more assistance at the recent sugar symposium and noted the government has delivered similar help quickly a couple of times before. The big question is the vehicle, whether that aid comes through budget reconciliation or a separate supplemental spending bill, with USDA saying it stands ready to act once Congress decides. Weston warns that plenty of farm legislation could hinge on a crowded, uncertain lame duck session this fall, so growers watching for relief may have to wait and see how the politics shake out. Story 10. Senate confirms Todd Blanche as Attorney General after bruising fight. Though confirmed along the party line vote when he was nominated and now, a stop at the coffee shop. Here is today's joke. The coffee shop's last pot of the day. The farmer asked for a final cup. The waitress poured. He said, "That's how every day should end." She said, "That's how every day in this town does end. Most folks just don't notice." Here is Cal's quiz. The University of Minnesota was chartered before Minnesota was even a state. What year? A. 1851. B. 1858. C. 1862. D. 1868. And the answer? 1851. The territorial legislature chartered it 7 years before statehood. It was designated the state's land grant under the Morrill Act in 1868 and built one of the nation's first farm campuses at St. Paul. Source: University of Minnesota Archives, Minnesota Historical Society. That is your brief. Have a safe day in the fields, and thanks for letting MI Farm I ride along this morning.